This week on the Time Bat Show.
Recently, my phone was in my car, and I had to go, and I was like, oh no, here we gotta find something.
I love how your thought is, oh no, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 112 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
And I am your other host, Bat Snacks.
And how are you today, Bat Snacks?
I'm doing just about the same as always.
So, what is that? What would you grade your current disposition?
I had to rate it out of 10?
No, let's do it out of an S. Like,
okay.
F, C, D, B, A, S. And you can do plus and minus, too, if you want.
C plus.
Just in the middle. I like it.
Maybe a B.
Okay. Yeah. Some days it's a C plus, some days it's a B. Okay. You know, I think I'm going to go with a C plus, too. You know?
Yeah, there were a couple interesting things that I watched this week, so that's, I guess, better than average, which is probably a C.
See any good movies or something?
No. I don't think I saw any good movies.
What did you watch, then, that was good?
Well, today, I saw a exhibition match between an artificial intelligence agent and...
Oh, yes. You were telling me about this.
Yeah, I was telling you about this. Today, actually, a couple hours ago, an AI played a human being in the game StarCraft, which is a game that we both
like. Was it StarCraft 2 or 1?
It was StarCraft 2.
Okay. And what were the results?
So I haven't played as much of StarCraft 2, so I don't really have the same understanding of it, but the results were not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting the artificial intelligence to just get crushed, because I didn't think an AI could play a game like StarCraft well.
But
the AI won 10-0. It didn't drop a single game.
Wow. Did it play against like a pro?
It played against two different pros.
Wow. That's scary.
Didn't lose a single game.
Here's the advantage of an AI with StarCraft, though. Because StarCraft is about strategy, but it's also about being able to quickly micromanage your units. And an AI can do that real fast. You know, like they do that. They play a perfect game that way, basically.
But since, you know, StarCraft is an imperfect information game, you would think a person, especially if you're playing five separate games against it, you could develop a strategy that could...
That's true.
...that it couldn't handle, but they couldn't do it.
That's interesting. Have you watched the Go documentary yet?
Yeah, I have. I watched that live. That was so cool.
The one where he was fighting a computer, or the computer was, are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, it was in South Korea, I think. They had... AlphaGo, which is AlphaGo. This is the same AI. This is called AlphaStar. This the other one was AlphaGo.
It's like
so it's
a
the same team
thing, right?
It's the Google DeepMind AI.
Yeah,
they had it play against the best Go player ever, or something.
It wasn't the best, but it was like he was up there.
Yeah, and he only won one game out of five.
Yeah, it was very interesting because he kept losing, and he was like, "Wow, I'm not that." Like he was surprised at how he was losing. And, like, it kept doing optimal strategies, and I was like, damn, I can't win, and I can't win. The game that he won was very unique, though, because he basically, like, confused the AI into losing itself, into, like, losing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was very unique. Like, he played a game so unexpected to the computer that the AI did not know how to react and, like, play an optimal strategy in response. Like, it didn't know what to do with the play that he made. And it was really interesting. Like, I thought the game where the AI lost was the most interesting game, because it was like...
Yeah.
The AI, like, didn't know what to do, because it was unexpected.
Yeah, I think that was smart of him to try that.
It was.
Because when you're going up against a computer with computations, you'll always lose. Like, the computer is always going to beat you. You have to do something that is unexpected
The computer's not going to know what to do. Because it's analyzed thousands, if not millions, of games. It knows every move you could possibly do.
Yeah.
And
since they train it with human games, maybe doing something that a normal person wouldn't do will just cause a reaction that, you know, is not optimal.
Yeah. And the other thing about the AI, which I thought was really intriguing, is it knows, like, every move possible, and it's analyzed so many games. And the way I think it uses its AI-ness is it's like, okay, my opponent can do, you know, 10,000 moves right now. Out of those 10,000 moves, here's, like, the 10 most likely ones, or maybe even the 100 most likely ones. And then it's like, out of those 100, here's every single optimal strategy to, like, to respond to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, basically what he did, in my understanding, is he chose a move that was so out of the radar of the computer that it didn't have anything ready for what to do in that circumstance, because the computer couldn't predict that's what he was doing. In all his previous games, he made probably the optimal move that he thought, but the computer already knew that was his optimal move. It was planning for that, like, 20 turns in advance, you know?
Yeah, if you use that optimal move, the computer's already calculated that line all the way to the end. It knows...
And it knows its odds, and it knows your odds. And it's gonna... It has to just wait for you to make one suboptimal move, and then it wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is very interesting.
With this match, the computer didn't use optimal strategies. One thing that the commentators pointed out was that it was overbuilding workers, which are how you gain economy and money.
In StarCraft, yeah.
It built too many. It built so many that it was actually not able to use all of its workers. But what ended up happening is the computer's opponent would kill workers. In StarCraft, you harass each other's workers. Mm-hmm. So it kind of accounted for losing workers beforehand.
Like, he was ready for the harassment, and then when the harass happened, he's just like, I'll just put my standby workers on the thing. Yeah,
and he had enough to just art to not take any damage.
Interesting. See, here's what I mean about the optimal strategy, because, like, the computer knows what you're going to do, and it knows a pro is always going to harass your workers, because that's what you do in StarCraft. You know, you like nickel and dime people. But if the pro didn't harass the workers, then the computer would have wasted development of those workers, which probably would have made them at a slight disadvantage, because then the pro isn't wasting time harassing the workers, because he knows that the computer has built too many. You know what I mean? So it would have shaved off a little, you know. You see what I'm saying? Like a little.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think the main thing I took away from watching these, they only showed 6 of the games, but all the games are available. Their replays are online. What I took away was that in tactical situations, when the computer could see the opponent's entire army, it always made better tactical decisions. Mm-hmm. But as far as overarching grand strategy, the pro player was always winning.
Always better.
And then the computer would just make up for that disadvantage with perfect tactical play.
Right. When they have all the information, they're not going to make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's when they don't have the information that they can't. And I feel like you have to play to that weakness then. Like, that's your only strategy against the computer, is to play to that weakness. And you're not playing to that weakness if you use strategies the computer knows how to respond to. Like, I'm harassing your workers or whatever. Well, okay, the computer sees you're doing that. They know you're doing that, so they're going to respond to it, like, in an optimal way. Like, the only chance you have is to do something that they don't know about, and by the time they do know about it, it's too late to do anything about it, you know?
Yeah. I can give an example of a worse AI and kind of how AIs typically behave in RTS games. In StarCraft 1, if you send one of your workers across the map at the very beginning and just attack the computer's building, it will take all of its units, including its workers, and chase your one worker all over the map forever until it kills it. And you can make the computer never get money by just having it focus so hard on that one specific task.
And then you've limped it. You've handicapped it for the rest of the game.
I think if they had given these pros like 100 games to develop a strategy that the AI couldn't deal with, that they probably could get to a place where they were winning every game, mm-hmm. but they only allowed him to play five matches.
That's the interesting thing I think about AI matches, right? Because mm-hmm. and not to discount the AI, because it's obviously very smart and very well programmed, but they always give him like 5 to 10 games. And the thing that people don't really commentate on, and which is an interesting discussion, is these pro players have played humans thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of games against humans. Mm-hmm. And never once, I mean, they've played the AI in the game, but, you know, in the StarCraft game, but those are terrible. Not once have they played a competent, strong AI like this one ever before. So they have no idea how to play against them. Meanwhile, all their experience is built on playing other people. So, of course, in the first 10 games, they're probably not going to know what to do because they have zero experience playing this kind of player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost, though, like, it's impressive that the AI won 10 in a row. But like you said, I think if the pros had time to figure out how to play against AIs, then they would have much more luck, and it would probably be a lot more even.
And, you know, there was another constraint on these matches they did. In StarCraft, there are 3 races and 9 possible matchups. If you're a pro player, you usually have to know at least 3 matchups, your race versus the other 3 races.
Right.
This computer battle simulation mm-hmm. show match they did, they only allowed 1 matchup, Protoss versus Protoss, mm-hmm. and they were only allowed to play on 1 map.
Interesting.
So the AI can't, like, it doesn't actually know how to adapt from map to map. It only knows 1 map so far.
Right. So there's constraints on it still.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can't adapt to another map. But like I said, I feel like a pro would be able to exploit an AI eventually. It would take time. It would take time to learn the system, how to play against them, because they've never played against AI before. It's different. It's a completely different ballgame. And they probably have very different weaknesses to playing against a human. Like, playing against a human, you harass, and you always keep them on anxiety level, you know, because then they have to divert their attention from, you know, building their base to fending off your attacks. That's like the optimal strategy against a human is always have the upper hand all the time. You know what I mean? Because then your opponent has to keep reacting to you instead of creating, you know, instead of aggressing. You know, they have to keep reacting. But to an AI, that's probably not optimal, because the AI isn't going to lose their head. They're going to keep a cool head the whole time because they don't get stressed about stuff. And they don't, like, you know, they don't overthink things. They're just doing what they need to do always in that situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas a human is going to be like, oh shit, this is happening, I need to react, and they'll make a snap decision, and it might be subpar because they're stressed about, you know, losing the game. An AI, that doesn't affect an AI. So you have to play to, like, a different thing, I feel like, to them, you know?
Yeah, in a game like StarCraft, there's no such thing as the sunken cost fallacy. If you make a decision, you just have to make it work. And if you're a pro and you're stressed and you make a bad decision, well, guess what? You just have to make that work.
Yeah.
And the AI is never going to make that suboptimal decision.
But I feel like a lot of the strategy in strategy games, and especially RTS, is you put pressure, and so it's harder for them to make those decisions. And when they do, they might screw up because they're under pressure. But an AI, like, it's not affected by pressure. It doesn't care. It's just a numbers game for them, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't care. It's not looking at... human is looking at the immediate what's happening and being like, this is bad, you know? This is bad. An AI is not looking at the present situation and saying this is bad. The AI is looking at the future situation in context of the present and saying, what does this do to my chances of winning the game? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. But
anyway, the matches were super cool and they were fun to watch. And I think it's the first time a computer has beaten a person like this in an imperfect information game.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened before, so that's... on its own is pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool. I hope they do more of these. I hope they play it more to see if the humans do have a chance to beat them, like if they can figure out their weaknesses and stuff, because I'd be interested to know.
To
know that. It kind of reminds me of, you know, like with fighting games.
Yeah.
People are playing with pretty much, I mean, you're pretty much playing with perfect information in fighting games. You know all the things your opponent can do. You can see what they're doing at all times. You don't know what their inputs are going to be, but you know what they can do and what they have done in the past. And in a fighting game, it's all about, like, okay, how am I going to react to this if they do this? And it's a snap, you know, decisions, you know, like,
right.
If they do this, I'm going to do this. If they do this, I'm going to do this. And also, like, what am I going to do before they do something? Because I think they're going to do something that if I do this, it's going to be better. You know, it's kind of almost a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing at some point.
Yeah, there's gambles.
But it's interesting to see, like, pros play fighting games because they play it very different than two people that don't really, you know, that are casual, you know, players. Because they've played so much with other people that are really good that they already know, like, the strategies that the other player is going to use. So they're, like, predicting that to happen already. They're playing to their opponent all the time. And there's this really interesting match I saw, like, a year or two ago at, like, Evo. And it was a pro. And it was versus some other person that wasn't really a pro. They were not, like, bad or anything. But they came out of nowhere. And they used, like, one character. And they only used, like, three or four moves from that character. But, like, they weren't particularly good, but the pro had no idea how to react to this because no pros use this strategy. You know what I mean? Like, nobody played that way.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think this was Soul Calibur, and they were using Yoshimitsu, just the sword bounce move, over and over again.
Yeah. And the pro had no idea what to do because no people he was playing knew, like, used that strategy. So he never learned how to do it. And I think the other guy just won, like, three games, like, out of the five, like, immediately. And it was just like, that's it. It was over. And it's funny because he obviously went to the guy that won, like, lose the whole series or whatever. But it's interesting that this pro, like, didn't know how to react to it because he's so used to these strategies and learning how to play against these strategies that when there's, like, this left field thing, it's like, I have no idea what the fuck to do to this. You know, I have no idea how to respond to this. Yeah. Even if it's a simple thing. And if he was given, like, 10 games, sure, he would have figured it out. But under pressure, under stress of, you know, a five-game, you know, or three-round thing, like, you know, he's going to lose. So,
it's just... Yeah, when you're under pressure, it's hard to come up with a whole new plan right instantly.
But
you prepared years for it.
It kind of reminded me of the AI thing because, you know, an AI, not that they're under pressure, but they're expecting a certain amount of things to happen because they're expecting the pro player is going to play this way. And if they do something that's not within that realm, they have no idea what to do to it because they're not trained to do that. And I think that's kind of the key.
Yeah. You know, if it was me and I was playing against this thing, I would, if I'm, you know, like three games down already, I would just try something totally crazy zero sense. Yeah.
Like I would normally, like, cannon rush them or something. Like, it would be stupid, you know?
Build, really dumb. Just leave your first base, go build a new one somewhere else.
Just do something really stupid. Like, build all air-to-air units.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just something really dumb.
Just see what it does.
And your Protoss, right? So you don't die until your last pylon's gone, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you could just build pylons randomly throughout the map.
Everywhere. Just
that's what I would do against an AI. Just throw them out there so they really have to, like, hunt them down, you know? And they don't know what to do. Because nothing is worse in StarCraft when you think you got them and then they're like, oh, God, they've got a pylon somewhere that I have to destroy, you know?
Yeah.
I would totally just random throw them out. And it might mess the AI up enough where you can do something. So, very interesting. Very interesting stuff. But AI is it's very fascinating. I'll have to watch the videos.
Yeah, they were fun. They put on a nice show.
Yeah.
Do you want to do your first trivia question?
I was about to tell you that I would love to do my first trivia question. Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. It's trivia time. And your first category... And your first category is... I don't really know. It's modern events.
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous, yeah.
I'm ready.
What will be your first lifeline?
I'm going to do 50-50.
Okay. Your first question is, the Russian youth movement, Lion Versus, opposes public smoking by doing what?
Okay. Lion Versus. Like V-E-R-S-E-S-U-S, like versus, like...
Yes, versus.
Okay. Lion Versus. Got it.
Is it A, drawing graffiti?
Okay.
Is it B, spraying smokers' hands with water?
That seems weird.
Is it C, throwing fish at smokers?
That seems really weird.
Or is it D, publicly burning cartons of cigarettes?
Okay. I don't like any of these. First of all, like, whoever this organization is, I don't like them. I don't approve of smoking, but don't throw a fish at me, you know? Yeah. Like, don't do that. And don't douse me with water either. That's rude. The other two I could see more likely. So, like, graffiti, although that's kind of weird, too. It's like fighting smokers with illegal vandal. Like, that seems weird to me. But maybe it's, like, sponsored by the state, graffiti. You know what I mean? Like, yes,
you're maybe
to do it here. And then the last one was burning
cartons of cigarettes. Cartons of
cigarettes publicly. I mean, that's, I think that's the most likely. It's like a demonstration, you know, like, don't smoke. But I don't know. I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It is either B, spraying smokers' hands with water, or C, throwing fish at smokers. No, it's not.
This is terrible. They throw fish or spray water at people?
Yes, they do.
Okay, first of all, this organization is worse than any smoker I know.
Yeah.
You know, they're assaulting people with fish or water. That's ridiculous. This can only happen in Russia. In America, these people get sued.
They go to prison. Yeah, they would.
I would sue them. I'd be like, you're not spraying me with water or throwing a fish at me. I hope it's not fish. I hope they don't throw fish. So I'm going to go with spraying smokers' hands with water, because I think it's less egregious than throwing a fish. And I hope they don't throw fish, because that's stupid. They're both bad, but spraying people's hands with water is a little less bad. So that's my answer.
Good logic. That's your final answer?
Yep.
Okay, you are correct. It is spraying people with water.
That's still bad, though. Look, do you agree, or am I just going crazy here?
No, I think that's bad. Isn't I think if someone wants terrible? To smoke, that's their destiny. You gotta let
don't spray them with water. Like, that's like seeing someone driving, and they're like, oh, I hate cars. I'm going to go, you know.
Spray them
with water as they get out of their car. Like, why? Why are you doing that? Like, yes, you don't want them to smoke, but that's their decision, you know? You don't like pissing someone's beer when they're drinking it, you know?
I mean, I don't. Maybe they do.
Because you're against alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like this organization.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Lion versus really stupid.
That's crazy. So, this is Russia?
Yeah, Russian.
I'm glad we don't have anything like that here. I mean, I'm sure we do, and then it was shut down because the government or people were like, yeah, that's dumb.
We have those truth ads that play, and I don't like seeing those.
Don't get me started on those truth ads.
They're really graphic and annoying.
You don't want the rest of this episode just to be about the truth ads.
Okay.
I'll do a quick thing.
Okay. Quickly, why don't you like the truth ads?
First of all, the truth ads are paid for by the tobacco companies. You know that, right?
I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
And the reason they're paid for by the tobacco companies is because there's a law that says for every amount of money made by the tobacco companies, they must pay this much in anti-smoking ads. So the whole point of the truth ads is just a bullshit thing. Second of all, like, I think the ads themselves are made by like a third party that's not affiliated with the tobacco. The tobacco companies just pay for it. Mm-hmm. But they just use like scare tactics to get people to not smoke.
Yep.
And this is what really bothers me about the truth ads. And I agree that smoking's bad for you. And I think everyone else that doesn't smoke probably agrees with me. Even the people that do smoke probably agree. But here's the problem with truth ads. Every other company and or organization, if they have a commercial that has misleading information, they get in trouble for it because it's called false advertising. The truth ads, they can just do whatever the hell they want and people aren't mad at them because it's anti-smoking. Why aren't they held accountable for their misleading advertisements similar to the other companies and organizations?
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, it's okay to be mean to smokers.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I can't give any, like, obvious examples, but I think there was a few I've watching that were like, this is misleading, this is not true, or, you know, they'll spin the data into a really weird, you know, way or whatever, And if any other organization did that, they'd get in trouble because, like, oh, you're misleading the, you know, the consumer.
Yeah, the FDA would be really angry about that.
But because the truth ads are anti-smoking, and we all agree as a society that smoking is wrong, suddenly it's okay to lie in this situation, which I find is stupid, and it's something society does now that really, really bothers me. Because we have this, like, double standard of society. We're like, doing bad, unethical things is okay if the goal, if the end goal is good. Which is, like, that's completely bullshit. Because that's bullshit. How terrible things happen in society. Like, if you look back at all terrible things that happen, it's people doing things that are bad with good intentions. That's always how terrible things happen, like, time and time again. So, I don't know. It's just the truth ads bother me, but yeah.
When you were in school, were you ever visited by those DARE people?
Yeah, the DARE anti-drug people.
Yeah, the anti-drug people.
Mm-hmm.
That's some man, dude. I have some very strong opinions about this.
Tell me about it.
I think they're absolutely hurting kids.
Why do you say that? I probably didn't have the experience you did. I'm pretty neutral on it.
My experience with DARE was they brought in a bunch of people, and they've all got, like, mohawks. They're all really cool.
Oh, right.
They've got, like skater clothes.
Yeah, sure.
They're really alternative. Mm-hmm. And they stand in front of kids, and they say, I did drugs for 30 years. And it's like, wow, 30 years? Maybe I should just try them once.
This,
like,
guy is cool.
And they didn't kill him, you know?
Because they're basically, like, telling people, like, yeah, I did drugs for 30 years, and I'm fine. I'm working for DARE now. I get to go around schools and tell people.
Being really cool.
Like, it's like, wow, that's not that bad. What they really should do is bring, like, a corpse into the classroom and be like, this guy did meth twice and died.
Yeah. They should. Or maybe visit a prison or something. Don't bring DARE people into your school, man.
That is weird. And then they'll do it like, oh, they had like this thing where they're like, oh, if you're cool, you don't do drugs. And they like tried to have cool people say that they didn't do drugs. Yeah. And it was so obvious. Even as a kid, you're like, this is fake. Like, these people aren't really cool, you know, or whatever.
Kids are smart.
Kids are smart. And I feel like society doesn't give kids enough credit intelligence-wise. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah, they're dumb. They'll fall for it. It's like, no. They're smarter than that, you know.
They told us when we were in school, and I think they still tell kids this, that marijuana cigarettes have 20 times more tar, like I use quotes around tar, than regular cigarettes.
Which is definitely a lie.
Marijuana is worse for you than cigarettes.
The worst part is completely debatable, but the tar part is definitely false.
Which is
another for a fact.
Just wrong. Like, you can't lie to people and expect them to take your, like, to do what you say.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think it's like, especially with this truth thing and the DARE thing and the whatever, it's just like, you're basically lying to try to get people to do the right thing. But you're hurting yourself by doing that because the people that are smart, which is more people than they're giving credit for,
yeah,
more people are going to see past that and be like, man, this organization isn't looking out for me. They're trying to deceive me. And because I'm an individual thinker, I'm going to do the opposite of what they say.
Yes, know, I'm an individual thinker. I'm going to try it and form my own opinion.
Or to do marijuana. Exactly. And that's exactly what these organizations don't want. So they should not approach it as a, don't do this, here's a scare tactic. They should more approach it as, here are the facts.
Here are the facts,
we advise
right.
you not to do this, but, you know, it's up to you, really, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people do, and they're okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that wouldn't be kosher to people, because that's, you know, God forbid people use their own brain to make their own decisions. That would be, that's not right. We have to be spoon-fed everything these days. I mean, don't get me started on that. But.
I mean, we could talk about that, how everybody that writes or says anything in media just treats people like they're idiots.
They do. It's so annoying.
I was listening to NPR the other day, and they had this scientist on who was talking about like dolphin habitats or something.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the scientist finished talking, they would edit in this lady that would talk really slow and say exactly what he just said.
Explain it.
And give an example, like, think of it like a Dunkin' Donuts. If you buy two donuts, like...
If it's like layman's terms, that's insulting to me. I'd be like, what the hell? Like, I'm not that dumb.
Like, normal people, dumb people like donuts, they'll understand this.
Oh, they have no trust in their audience anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is, and this is why I don't really like media a lot anymore, like news media, is it's not fact-based anymore. It's like goal-oriented. Like, they have a end result that they want the person to get out of the report or whatever, yeah. Right? They're like, here's my opinion. I'm going to convey that opinion. And if I need to support it with facts, I will. But in reality, it's just, you know, this is what we want you to get out of it. So they, like... Maybe they'll say it really complicatedly, or they'll say it in a normal fashion and then have someone that's like layman terms saying it because they don't care about the actual, they don't care about presenting you with facts and you forming your own opinion. They just want to tell you what they believe, you know, what they think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what you should think.
What you should think. And so it's not like reporting facts. It's more just like, here's my belief or opinion or whatever about this, you know.
They don't trust, should be yours too.
And they don't trust people enough to form their own opinion, and they should, you know. People should trust other people to form their own opinion. Humans are smart. Individuals, humans are smart, and they'll figure it out. But people don't give them credit. But I think as society grows and as the internet is more of a thing, it's easier to get lost into thinking that humans are dumb, you know, because a giant conglomerate of humans doing something at the same time is dumb, you know? And it's obvious to see, like, read the comments on YouTube and be like, wow, look at all these dumbasses out there. You know what I mean? And it's like, yes, that's true. But, you know, if you just randomly picked a human on the street, they're not going to be that stupid. You know, they're not that dumb.
Yeah.
But it's really easy to get lost in thinking that everyone's, you know, an idiot, so you gotta like dumb down everything for them, for the masses.
Yeah, that's a good opinion that you have, that, you know, individually people generally do the right thing, but if we all work together, it's usually bad.
I think that's like my like philosophy on life, like in general. Like, I've come to imagine that that's true. Like, when I was younger, I had a really terrible opinion of humans. And it was that everyone was stupid, and if they weren't stupid, they were smart, and if they were smart, they were probably evil, too. You know, that was my, like, philosophy. Like, either you're smart and evil, or dumb and
maybe good.
Maybe good, yeah. But now, I think more of it is, like, I think most people are pretty good, and most people are pretty smart, but when they're together, they're really dumb. Like, really, really dumb. And the reason they're really dumb is because everyone else is trying to prove how smart they are to everyone else. You know? And it sounds counterintuitive, but I don't think it is at all. Because I know when I am trying to impress people, I look really dumb all the time. Yeah. And I think most other people are the exact same way. Like, they get stressed out that they're like, I've got to prove that I'm smart and I'm talented. But by doing so, I'm showing that I'm dumb, but I'm not actually dumb. I'm just dumb in this situation, you know? So, like a mob, like, they're trying to impress each other, and they all make dumb decisions to try to one-up each other, and then terrible things happen, you know? So.
Yeah, we agree.
That's my opinion on that. So, it's interesting, but that's the way it is.
We got some listener questions this week.
Do we? We should get into those.
Yeah, we have three this week. They all come from the same person. Thank you, Lauminade on Twitter.
Thank you. Oh, it's one of our best fans. Thank you so much. What? I was going to say only fans, but I used best instead.
That was a better word, yeah.
Thank you. Too late. I already said only.
All right. Their first thought is, or question rather, the egg. All right. So let's think about this. Let's think about the existential dread that sets in when you realize you went to take a shit and forgot your cell phone.
So I want to just preface this with, before we had cell phones, what people read on the toilet at least what I read, was like the bottles on the soap.
On
the soap.
The shampoo.
Did you do that too?
I mean, you don't want to be in there alone with your thoughts. You
no, have to occupy yourself. I don't want to be alone with my thoughts. It's terrible. I know what I'm like alone with my thoughts, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, you like looked at the shampoo bottle and be like, oh, this has benzoate 4 in it or whatever, you know, and you'd read that.
And they'd always have, you know, that guy that writes like, I don't, the blurb on the back of things.
Yeah.
Those used to, and usually on soap, it's something like, be kind to yourself, ultra smooth skin. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, I think they wrote those things with it in mind that people would read that while they were in the bathroom.
Have you noticed that soap and toiletry products have gotten less interesting labels lately?
And you know why? People have their phones.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's because they know no one's reading it anymore, so they like don't care. But in the past, they were like, oh, we got to throw these people a bone. You know, let's put a little quote by like James Joyce on the back of our shampoo. You know, to like.
Yeah, and now that I'm thinking about it, all the messages on the backs of soaps, they were all really encouraging and made you feel happy and good.
Yeah, they're like, have a good day, or like that, like a poem by some author that's like uplifting or something, you know?
Yeah, because they knew you were alone in there, and that, you know, if you're left alone, things might get dark, and you might need that uplifting message.
Now they don't say anything. They're just like, buy more soap! You know? That's all it says. It's interesting. But yeah, back to the question. It's bad. Have you ever like known you have to go to the bathroom and know your cell phone somewhere else and like gone to get it? Like, and it's like a distance, but you're like, it's fine. I need to get it before I go to the bathroom.
So, all right, have you ever had to go and your cell phone is in your car and you can't make it there?
Like you have to go before that.
Yeah. So what happens to me
tell
is
me, I want to hear it.
I make a map in my head. Okay, where are all the things in my house that I can grab that will keep me occupied while I'm in there? And it could be my Switch. It could be a book. It could be a rock. Or so, it doesn't matter. I just need something in there. I don't want to be alone.
So what do you normally get? Like, what do you normally have time for?
Recently, recently, my phone was in my car, and I had to go, and I was like, oh no, here we go. Gotta find something.
I love how your thought is, oh no, here we go.
Ran to my bookshelf, just grabbed something. It was the Pocket Jung, which is just like...
Carl Jung or whatever? Yeah. The psychologist?
Yeah. That's what I grabbed.
That is the worst book to read in the bathroom.
And it made me really sad because he talks about like about your childhood and
your like
you know,
soul and how you're like really depressed all the time.
The human condition and all that.
That's like the worst bathroom book.
So I wound up just reading the reviews and the preface. Yeah.
You open up to a random page and he's like, life is meaningless. You realized this when you were 3 years old. And you didn't
your
get...
mother was breastfeeding you or something.
And you're like, oh no, I picked the wrong book. What is the best book to accidentally bring with you in the bathroom?
Comics.
Like a comic. Like something uplifting and fun. You know? Yeah. Or like it's a Winnie the Pooh
heavy.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know? That Winnie the Pooh.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, something uplifting, something fun.
Yeah. Carl is the worst book.
That's amazing. So, needless to say, you didn't get through that one.
No, it's like 1,000 pages
back
long.
Back in the 90s/early 2000s, we used to have, my parents still do this, we used to have books in the bathroom that you could like read while you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
For example, this is a real book. My parents, to this day, have a book in the bathroom. It's called The Great American Bathroom Book. I'm not lying. This is the real title of the book. It's called The Great American Bathroom Book. And in it is a bunch of collected short stories, basically. And, like, fun essays and articles. So it's just like, oh, it's basically like a Reader's Digest, but for the bathroom, and, you know, yeah. It's a lot bigger.
Yeah, I think I've seen that in your bathroom before. Yeah. Back when I used to go to your house,
yeah, that was and in it's, there. It's still there. It's been there for 20 years, which is fascinating and disgusting at the same time. Because I don't think anyone has, like, cleaned this book before. It's just there in the bathroom. I never would want to, like, take that book out of the bathroom. Like, that's its place now. You know, like, it's not going anywhere.
You can't put that in the kitchen now. No.
You can't touch that after you've already been in the bathroom. You know, the process is pick up the book, read the book, put the book back, finish your business, wash your hands, and leave. Like, there's no, oh, let me grab the bathroom book and take it into the study. Like, no, it's not going anywhere. It's in the bathroom always.
Yeah.
But we used to have that. It was a thing.
Yeah, maybe there's an invention. Maybe there's an invention we could make for people that forget their cell phones in the bathroom.
I think the invention is just leave a book in the bathroom.
Yeah, a magazine.
You know, that you really like. But the problem with a really like book is you can never take it out of the bathroom. Once it's in the bathroom, it's in the bathroom forever.
Yeah, and I think the ideal bathroom literature is not really a novel. You need something short.
Yeah, like a short story collection.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, I would do, and I should do this, like an encyclopedia, right? Yeah. Like, that would be good, you know?
Yeah, an encyclopedia, maybe one of those old sci-fi compendiums, like Amazing Science Fiction. Yeah.
Or, like, an old issue of National Geographic, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, there's some pictures, you know, I can learn about buffalo or whatever, you know, while I'm in the bathroom. The buffalo is grazing on the Sahara. I don't know where the buffalo is.
Our second listener question ties into this pretty well, actually.
Go for it.
Laminade writes, when you were reading the Captain Underpants books when you were a kid.
I did read the Captain Underpants books.
I did. And you were flipping that animated page that and accidentally tore it, ruining the book forever.
I did do that,
actually. You ever do that?
Yeah. I think I know what they're talking about. There's an animated page that's like, you like flip it really fast, and then it animates, right? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you tear it, yeah, you don't get the animation anymore.
Yeah, it's like an action sequence in every Captain Underpants
book. I loved the Captain Underpants books when I was a kid.
I did too.
I don't know why. Like, they weren't very good, but I liked them a lot.
Yeah.
I think they were like... So here's my thing. As I was like, when I was like a little kid, I liked humor like too much. Like, I didn't like comic books like Spider-Man or Batman or whatever, but I liked Captain Underpants, which was kind of it was sort of a comic, right? It's not it's really. It's a novel that it's a illustrated novel, which is basically a comic book, but it was like really goofy. So I like liked it because it was humorous. So I liked the mythology and world building in the Captain Underpants universe, but I didn't like the comic nature. I didn't like the serious comics, so maybe that's why I liked Captain Underpants so much.
Yeah, everything was ridiculous, and that's fun when you're a kid.
And wasn't he like a teacher that was transformed into Captain Underpants or something like that?
I think there was a transformation story. I don't remember it, though.
I think he was a teacher, and these two kids transformed him into Captain Underpants. You know, I think that's how it worked. I don't know.
It's kind of a really sick story. Like, teacher just like...
And he wore a belt on his head. I remember that.
Yeah.
And he got really dumb. And he didn't remember anything after he transformed back.
Yeah, he just turned into a big underpants-wearing idiot that saves the world.
What a relic of, like, the late 90s, early 2000s that was.
You know. Captain Underpants is still around.
Is it?
They're still writing Captain Underpants books.
I need to check those out, then. Because I want to know where he's at. I want to know what he's doing. Because that was very big for me when I was, like, 11. You know, I was like, this is my jam.
Yeah, my jam was, like, it was Captain Underpants. I liked Calvin and Hobbes a lot.
Oh, yeah, I love Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Calvin and Hobbes is probably my favorite comic.
Like, yeah, same. All time. I've got all the compilations.
Yeah, same. Calvin and Hobbes is a special thing. Like, there's nothing else like Calvin and Hobbes. I don't think there ever will be again.
Ed and Eddie was similar.
It was, but it wasn't quite the same.
It was less, like, lonely and comfy.
Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes was, like, Calvin was like, he's smart. He doesn't have a lot of friends. Well, I mean, he kind of does, but he doesn't really. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. His one friend is imaginary, and is a tiger. And the cool thing about Calvin and Hobbes is, like, the Hobbes is, like, it's Calvin, you know? It's just Calvin's personality in a different way, right?
Yeah.
But, like, Calvin is, like, the dreamer, and Hobbes is, like, the realist, you know? Which is really funny to me, because, like, as a kid, I related to Calvin. But as an adult, I relate to Hobbes. And it's a unique thing to go back and read, because, like, Calvin is this uppity, you know, dreamy boy that, like, is kind of a smart ass. And Hobbes is kind of just, like, a down-to-earth, like, that's stupid. Like, is this really going to work kind of thing? And it's unique.
Yeah. He's more, he has more of an adult character, but he still goes along with all the stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah, he does. Because it's, I mean, it's basically Calvin's, like, other side of his personality. And it's cool. Yeah. It's a good book.
Yeah, love that series.
Yeah. Anyway, we should do our second trivia. Or do I have another question? I'm sorry.
You have one more listener question, then we'll rapid fire the last two trivia.
All right, let's do it.
Last one, last topic, email sign-off messages.
Mm-hmm. What about them?
And automatic office responses. What do you think about them?
I feel like they're a relic of the past. I feel like they are. I don't know. I just feel like they, back when email was a thing, everyone had a sign, you know, had a sincerely whatever, and everyone had an automated thing. And today, people still use them, but I just don't think, I don't think it's necessary anymore.
I agree. In my specific situation, I still have to use them because I work with people that are a lot older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I kind of had to learn. But
I think all, if you... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, all of our younger employees that are about my age, none of them use it when they're talking to me.
Use what? The sign? The
never do like a good morning. Oh, Mr. Yeah. Do-do-do, how are you doing?
Blah, sincerely, blah, 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 blah.
Sincerely, yeah.
Now, the older people that do have the sincerely, do they have, like, a signature? Like, they have, like, a automated thing that automatically signs all their emails with blah, 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 with that?
Or no? Yeah, and I actually created the signature that everybody uses in our organization.
Do you have one, too?
No, I don't use one because I'm too cool.
One. Yeah. See, I don't use one either. I don't see the point because it's like, if I want to sign my name, I'll sign it. If they want to know who this is from, they can just look at the from section of the email and be like, there it is. You know, this is from me. So I just don't see the point of the sincerely whatever. Now, the automated response. Was that another topic?
Yeah, out of office response.
Out of office. I can see that being useful for people that are important and are going to be gone a long time.
Yeah.
But if you're only gone like a couple days and you're like a lowly grunt like me, like I'm never going to do that, you know. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if someone's going to need you while you're gone, then you should just at least have something in there about you know, who they should contact while you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with me though, like if I'm gone and people are going to need me, I've already told them I'm going to be gone. So I don't need to have an automated responder. You know what I mean? So
true, yeah.
The end. I think it's important for, like, if you're, like, an HR person or, like, a PR or, like, community management or something like that, and, like, a bunch of people are reaching out to you at all the times and you can't possibly tell all of them you're gone before you go, then you do it. But, like, if you're just somebody that works with, like, a handful of people, you just tell everyone before you leave, like, hey, I'm going to be out for the next few days. Like, okay.
Cool. Don't email me.
You can email me, but I'm not going to get it until I get back, you know?
Yeah.
There at the end. Should we do another trivia?
Another trivia. Ready?
Ready, go.
Ready. This category is history. What's going to be your lifeline?
Monty Hall.
Monty Hall. All right. Your question is, which of these auction items was not featured at the 1832 Culhane's Grove Estate Auction?
Where did you get this question?
Wikipedia.
I love it. All right, I'm ready. Culhane's Grove, right?
Culhane's Grove in 1832.
Don't even know where that is, but all right.
It's in England somewhere.
England, all right, got it.
Is it A, a fire engine?
Okay.
Is it B, two humane man traps? Is it C, two Shetland ponies? Or is it D, a used guillotine?
Wow, these were all there except one?
Yep.
Wow, that's messed up.
I want to point out, like, two humane man traps and a guillotine. One of them was there.
I know. No, that's why I'm saying it's messed up.
Yeah.
One of those is definitely there.
At least.
What do I think? Yeah, at least. I hope they're not both there. You could have tripped me, though.
Maybe there was a weird place.
That's true. So, fire engine, two humane man traps. What even is a man trap? It's a trap for man that's humane, quote unquote. What does that even mean?
Humane was in quotes.
Right. So it's like a bear trap for man. But instead of teeth, it uses like rubber sticky things or something.
No, I think it probably still uses teeth. It just doesn't kill you.
It's probably not humane. Like, if anything traps you, it automatically is not humane, in my opinion. A man trap.
Why are you trapping men?
What? I don't know. Like, are you like, are you putting it on your property and you're like, if there's a burglar, I got him. Or something.
It maybe.
I don't know what kind of estate this was. Two Shetland ponies.
Mm-hmm. And a used guillotine.
I hope it's not a used guillotine. I think, okay, I'm going to use my money haul.
All right.
I'm going to lock in a man trap, because I don't know what that is, and I don't think they would have them. Well, no, you know, guillotine is probably the least likely. No, the 19th century was weird enough that they would have to use guillotine as an option. I'm going to lock in man trap as my my money hole.
It's either the man traps or the guillotine.
Oh, my God. Damn it. Of course you were going to do that. I should have known.
What do you think?
What is less likely to be there?
I can't help you with that.
I feel like the man traps are less likely. I'm going to go with my gut. Man traps are the only one that wasn't there. Final answer.
That is wrong.
Shit.
It was the guillotine.
Wasn't there. So man traps, whatever that is there.
Yeah, they had someone man traps.
Had a man trap, and two of them, and they're like, we don't need these anymore. You can use them. They're humane. Guaranteed humane. In quotes.
So if I like set those up in my yard and it traps like a guy, can I be like, it's humane?
You're fine. If the police come, then you're just like, it's humane. It's fine.
Here's the receipt. It
says humane right there. The guy's like bleeding everywhere. His leg is like half gone. Like, it's humane. It's fine.
It didn't kill him.
Is that the only requirement of humane? Like, doesn't kill someone, done. All right, it's humane, checkbox.
I don't know. In the article, it had humane in quotes, so I think it's probably...
Well, it was 19th century England, so doesn't surprise me. I'm going to check our email really fast.
Sounds good.
Are you excited? I haven't looked at our email in so long.
I'm not excited.
Actually, I looked at it a little before the show. I'm not going to lie. So we have some phishing scams going on our email, I'm pretty sure.
These are our only contacts.
I just wanted to share them with you. We have one from PayPal, and I'm going to put PayPal in quotes because it's not PayPal.
What was their email address?
Well, hold on. I'll get to that. Okay. It says, okay. The subject is PayPal automated invoice message. And the body of the email is... This standard invoice notification is provided to you personally by PayPal services. And then, this is my favorite part, a big button underneath that says download receipt.
Well, it sounds like we owe money.
It's like, let's download this receipt onto your computer. And then it says, thank you for working with PayPal. This is your receipt. Blah, 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 blah. Click the link to see in-depth information. And then it has like real PayPal links at the bottom to like trick you.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is
that's a nice touch.
Definitely a scam. But the funny thing is, like, download receipt. It's like, download this random thing to your computer. Like, that's the virus. But the email is from PayPal at drfuselsoffice.com.
You know,
yep.
You can get a lot of use out of that domain because you can also. Fusel's office. You can also operate out of, like, a medical billing kind of scam.
Yeah. Like, billing at drfuselsoffice.com.
Yeah.
Like, we saw you at Dr. Fusel's last week, and you haven't paid us yet, so get on that.
I remember back, last time I went to the like the doctor, I started getting all of these this mail from different people asking for money, and they were all scams. But
really,
yeah, isn't that weird? People that do that. Weird.
So they like knew they went. You went to a doctor, and then they emailed. They mailed you because they knew there's you. They could almost scam you.
Yeah.
Another email we got is from HelloFax. Have you ever heard of HelloFax? I haven't.
No.
I haven't either. It says, "Welcome." The subject is "Welcome to HelloFax." Someone sent you a fax. Dear client, here is your HelloFax. Number of pages 9. Personal reference ID. Blah 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 blah. And then there's a button that says "See your fax." And I'm sure that doesn't download anything horrible. And the the email, the from email is hellofax@woolsey.com.
Perfect.
And this is my favorite part. When you hover over the "See your fax" button, the link, the link it sends you to. I'm not clicking it. It's just the hover over. It's
yeah.
Oh, you're not ready for this. It's SanduskyCabinetStore.com.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. SanduskyCabinetStore.com/a whole bunch of characters. SanduskyCabinetStore.com.
That's clever.
I'm going to Google Sandusky Cabinet.
Do that. I'm interested to see, because maybe they do that so that you'll think you bought something from Sandusky Cabinet Store.
So there is a SanduskyCabinetStore.com. I see it. It comes up on Google. I don't know if I want to click the link, though.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. It's probably bad.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Scams are so elaborate nowadays.
Sandusky Cabinet Store wants us to do something. And then my favorite email that I got today, I was looking to see if someone sent us fan mail. And so I'm looking, I'm scanning the from column of the emails. And I'm like, oh, we got a fan mail. It's from Ray Ban. The sunglasses people, Ray Ban.
Oh, I thought you meant like Ray.
I know, that's how I read it. I was like, Ray Ban sent us a fan mail. But no, it's the sunglasses people, Ray Ban.
Is it just a catalog?
Yeah, they want us to
buy some glasses.
Buy some sunglasses. Although this looks like a scam too. Yeah, this is definitely a scam too. It's from Ray Ban, which the real email, if you hover over it, is hello@2juju.com. Yeah, 2juju.com. So, there you go.
Back when I worked for a Japanese restaurant, I learned that they paid a lawyer in New York to read their mail because they couldn't distinguish between what was a scam and what was real.
That's incredible.
Because, you know, if you don't speak English very well and you come to America and you're, like, you already opening a business in America is very difficult.
You don't know any better.
Yeah.
Can we start this company? This is a great professional business idea. Like, we start a company where we basically prevent people from getting scammed, you know?
That's a really good idea.
Isn't it? It is, though. And the thing is, like, people be like, oh, I know how to not get scammed. Like, do you, though? Because people get scammed all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, you'd have a company that's, like, professional consultant, and you pay them, like, $5 a month or something.
That's it.
A low fee. And they're just like, yep, we're going to look at all your email before you get it, and all the scams we're just going to delete, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But you could totally do it for a company that's like, yeah, we're just going to make sure you don't get scammed. Because it's easy to scam someone nowadays.
It's very easy. Everybody knows someone. Like, even I know someone. One of the people I work with, her mom was scammed out of, like, $13,000.
It's so easy to get scammed.
She got scammed and then again and again and again, and she just kept sending these criminals money. And it's, like, it's really sad because she's, like, old and kind of doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, but
see, we could have this company. We could do it. It could be, like, anti-scam. Scam Busters, that's the name. It's like Ghostbusters, but scams.
Scam Busters. It's a good idea.
And with this, we have, like, the Ghostbuster symbol. It's, like, scam, and then it has, the cancel sign through it, you know?
Yeah.
Like in Ghostbusters. Scam Busters. And then we have really bad commercials like the Ghostbusters. Like, are you getting scammed all the time?
we need to have a physical embodiment of a scam.
Oh, like, you know, Slimer? I
mean? Yeah, like a person dressed up as a scam. What does that look like?
It's like a guy in a trench coat, and he, like, he's unshaven. Like, he has, like, a really bad, like, 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a cigarette, but it's, like, a crooked cigarette. Like, he rolled it himself.
Yeah.
And he's, like, missing some teeth. And he, like, he opens his trench coat, and he's like, you want to buy some stuff for me? He's
some,
like,
gold?
Yeah. You know, like, the, you know, like, the suspicious person on, like, the neighborhood watch signs?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah,
like, that. It's like that.
Yeah, guy. Exactly him.
That guy.
I think you need a whole posse of living scams.
I do,
you could
too.
Have...
Because that's like have, the that's like the easy, like, that's like the low life scammer. But you need, like, yeah, a high class one too.
You know? You need, like, a giant fat man with, like, a it's like balding really bad. Yes. He looks like, all right, you know Jurassic Park? Mm-hmm. The hacker guy in Jurassic Park. Yeah, it's him.
Ned or whatever his name is, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't say the magic word.
Yeah, that guy.
Him.
Mm-hmm. It's him. And he eats, like, candy.
Yeah, he's the hacker scammer.
Yes. And then you have, like, a rich guy, like a guy that looks rich.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a prince or a king or something. He's
lawyer, like, I just scammer.
I just need some money to start my overseas company, you know, and you'll get a profit or whatever. You know, he's that version. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we have a little cast of characters. And then in Scambusters, the cartoons, we, like, shoot them with anti-scam guns. And they go, oh, you caught me, and then blow up. And that's the commercial.
Yeah, you dress like Ghostbusters and you got your ghost gun and you...
It's like a scam gun. Anti-scam gun. And they're like scamming people on the street. They're like it starts with a guy in the trench coat and he's like talking to a woman. And he's like, you just give me this and you'll get paid back tenfold. And she's like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And we're like, not so fast. And then we, like, shoot him with the gun. And he's like, oh no, not the Scambusters.
Yeah, and then, like, some really slick lawyer-looking person tries to tell someone that they owe $5,000 for, like, a subpoena, use some lawyer word.
Yeah, and then we
shoot
kick
him.
We kick the door open, and he's like, damn it, not again, and then we shoot him. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's really good. Last trivia question?
Yeah, we should do last trivia.
Okay, which of these... All right, the category is movies.
Lifeline is Five Sengu.
All right, final question. Which of these happened 70 years ago today?
God, okay.
Is it A, the first Academy Awards? Mm-hmm. B, the first Emmy Awards? C, the first Tony Awards? Or D, the first MTV Awards?
It's definitely not MTV Awards.
It might be.
No, MTV hasn't been around that long. Actually, I can eliminate two. I know it's not MTV because MTV didn't come about until the 70s or 80s. And I'm pretty sure the Academy Awards is over 80 years old because I remember there was, like, an 80th anniversary recently. So I think it's either the Emmy or the Tonys.
Nice.
I just don't know which one, which is why I'm going to use my 5 second Google.
All right. Which of these happened today in 1949? I have
to calculate what day it was in 1949.
Today.
Yeah, I guess it's 1949. Sorry.
It's okay. Ready?
Right, yep.
3, 2, 1. Google.
First award, 1949.
3, 2.
Emmy Awards.
Finalized. Emmy is correct.
Yes! I did well on that one.
Yeah, that was good.
I really home-run that question. Do you want to get into some Reddits near the tail end of the show here?
Sure.
Ba, 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 ba. I have some good ones. Unless you had other things to talk about. I don't know if you did.
No, I think we got everything.
Okay. I have some asks for you today. I'll start with really dumb ones. What are some things you've hit with your car?
Another car.
Me too. Anything really weird you've hit with your car? What was the weirdest thing you've hit with your car?
When I was on my way to Desert Days, I was driving to the Orlando airport, and I hit what looked like a homeless person's blanket.
Whoa. Did you think it was a homeless person?
Yes. And it got caught in my tire.
Yeah.
And there was a toll booth right in front of me.
Oh, no.
So I had to pull over at the toll booth. They thought I was going to rob them or something.
Oh, God. Did they, like, come out and, like, sir, stay in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, listen, there's a blanket in my car. I got to get it out, please.
This is such a you story. Like, this would only happen to you. I love it. Why are some people predisposed to having, like, stupid shit like this happen to them?
I don't know. I'm one of them, though.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is something that, like, I just... It makes sense it happened to you. Like, not... I'm not trying to offend you. Like, I just...
No.
It just, yeah. Like... Like, of course this would happen to you. Like, why would I expect it? Like, there are some things that would happen to me, but, like, I don't know. You're just predisposed to, like, this stupid shit happening.
Yeah. I think for you, it's, like... Bad restaurant experiences, yes. Maybe spilling stuff. People treating you bad, like bad service.
Yeah. I'm predisposed to that.
Yeah, for me, it's like getting a blanket caught in my tire right when I go near a toll booth.
At like the perfect time.
Yeah.
So you got it out okay, though?
Yeah, you know, because this stuff happens to me a lot, I've just realized going through life that the best way to handle this stuff is just be really polite.
You're just like, well, I guess this is happening. It's fine. Just be overly nice to everyone.
Yep, and it usually works out.
Yeah. The worst thing it hit with my car was an owl.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was sad.
Was it a living owl?
Yeah, it was on my birthday.
Jesus.
It flew right into my car. It was terrible.
That's the worst omen ever.
It was. Like, you know what? After that happened, like, I think that's when my life started to take a turn for the worst. Like, that was my peak. And then that's
terrible.
After that, just everything went downhill.
Because an owl symbolizes knowledge.
I know. And, like, niceness. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it's like the end of knowledge.
It wasn't particularly late at night or anything. It was like 5 p.m. and I was just like, bah! And then I was just like, oh no. And it was like alive for a little while and then it died. Because it was in my grill.
Oh, Jesus.
I caught it in there. I felt so bad. I didn't know what to do. I like called the animal, like, not animal control, like, you know, the vet clinic or whatever. It's like, hey, now. And they're like, oh, I'm like, what should I do? And they're like, wrap it in a blanket and don't touch it. And I was like, okay. And then it, like, died.
There's an owl in my grill. What do I do?
It was so depressing. Oh, it was on my birthday. It was, like, my 24th birthday or something like that. I don't remember what birthday it was, but... It was like early 20s, you know, birthday.
Jeez.
It was horrible.
That's an awesome story.
It's everything went down. My life really took a turn for the worse after that.
I'm sorry that happened.
No, it's fine. I just remember being really sad that day. Okay. that was a fun question. This is a good question. Why don't dating apps partner with restaurants and places like that to offer discounted dates for people that meet there through the service?
That's a great idea.
Isn't that a good idea? I don't know why they don't do that, because they're dumb. They haven't done it yet.
Maybe they're making enough money without
Redditor, doing that. Philip Lifton Shroot asks that. And to Philip Lifton Shroot, I say go make that, because I think that's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea, actually.
Yeah, what you got to do is you go to a restaurant, go to somewhere like Applebee's, somewhere that needs the help. Yep, and
Applebee's. Olive Garden.
You just say that you'll represent them to Tinder. And then you send Tinder an email saying, I'm partnered with Applebee's.
Get all the players lined up already.
Yeah.
They think you have a legitimate business, but you don't have anything yet. That's the important key. Because you're never going to be able to get all this off the ground floor with everyone already involved. Bum, bum, bum. You know?
Yeah.
You got to basically lie to everyone. Like,
yeah,
I already have a relationship with Tinder. And you tell Tinder, I have a relationship with all these restaurants. And then you go out, you know what I mean? And then get everyone to sign on.
Yeah, because no one's going to trust you if you're just off the street and, like, I swear I can get you a...
But you are off the street, but you pretend you're not, basically.
Exactly.
That's the key to business. You just pretend that you know what you're doing. until everyone agrees that you know what you're doing, and then
you
do it. That's a very powerful thing for a, you know, a, since no one knows what they're doing, when someone appears that they do, that's very powerful.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to a lot of things, and I didn't realize that till later in my life, but no one knows what they're doing, and the people that that pretend they are, everyone's like, wow. They
control everything.
They know what's going on, but they don't really. But they're the ones that succeed. And I think that's why it like hurts me so much when I see people succeed, because I can tell that they don't know what they're doing. Like, I'm like, I see past your shenanigans. You know, I can see you have no idea what's going on. But because they're confident in themselves, then they're succeeding, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, at the same time, though, I mean, I couldn't fake it like that, so props to them for pulling that much off.
I couldn't either. But it sucks that you have to be like that to, like, be successful in some degree, though.
Yeah.
But it's the way of the world. Can't help it. How do you build a business relationship with someone you've only met through the phone or email?
You gotta eat dinner with them.
You gotta eat dinner with them? Yeah. This is a great question, actually, because how do you invite someone to dinner in the 21st century without it being weird?
Do you even? I mean,
I don't know. I'm asking you. You said you have to eat dinner with them. Okay, how do you eat dinner with them?
Hey, you want to get dinner sometime?
No, hey, you want to get dinner sometime? That's it. That's the one. No, but then, seriously.
No, I think maybe the better thing is...
Hey, you want to get dinner sometime?
That's not how I would do it. How I would do it is, if I wanted to form a business relationship with someone, I would be like, hey, do you want to go to this charity event with me? And we can represent our respective businesses at this charity.
Okay, this is... I like that idea, but what if you don't have any charity event coming up? Like,
just look, Wounded Warrior, pick one.
Doesn't like, just, it doesn't matter.
They can't say no if it's something like Wounded Warrior, because then you can be true. Like, what, you hate the troops? Like, it's free.
I love how you're like playing into their guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta go, I'm going. You don't want the community to think you don't support this, you know?
Yeah.
Or like some like animal shelter thing, you know, ASPCA thing, you know?
Animals less so, because no one actually cares about animals, well, unfortunately. Okay.
But you know what I mean? Something that like is a feel-good charity, like a homeless thing or like a support the troops thing. Yeah, whatever. It's good. But how do you like... If you wanted to, like, just have dinner with someone that you wanted a business relationship, how do you do that this day?
I think it's really complicated.
I don't think you can. Like, how would you write that email? Like, hey, Charlie, you remember me. We talked over the phone a few months back, and I'm really interested in doing business with you. Would you want to grab a quick bite sometime? Like, I don't know how to phrase that.
Usually when people – I get, like, cold calls sometimes at work for people that want to sell me stuff. And usually the approach they take is, can we come to your place of business and try to sell you this on your grounds?
That's super weird. But you're not trying to sell someone something. You're trying to just start a business relationship. You're just trying to get your foot in the door with future stuff. You're not necessarily trying to sell something, you know? I don't know. It's weird. I always question the way I'm inviting people to things. Not just business stuff or like career stuff, but like things in general. Like, I'm always, like, hyper-keen on, like, how I'm wording things. You know what I mean? Like, is this a weird way to say this? You know? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hey, do you want to do this? It's like, is that weird? I don't know. Like, I'm always overanalyzing it. And I feel like when other people do it, they just, like, don't think about it. They just fire and forget. And it's just like, hey, you want a good dinner? I'm a businessman. And you're like, what? Okay. You know?
Yeah.
But I would
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, this is something I'm really bad at. I usually just say something like, hey, you want to hang out?
Like, I do that too. Like, if I, like, find a new friend or whatever, I'm never specific. Because, like, I want to give them an out. Because I know that they probably don't like me. So I'm like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? So it's, like, a really vague, like...
Yeah.
Area. Like, they can easily say, like, they can easily not say no, but not say yes. Like, they have a perfect response. They can be like, yeah, maybe, or yeah, sure. And, like, that doesn't mean, like, nothing, no plans have been made. And then they can just basically brush it off, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're like, now what do I do? Like, do I follow up with that? Like, there's no response to that.
Yeah, the worst is when they call your bluff and they're like, well, let me know when you have something lined up.
Like, yeah, and then you're like, now I have to plan this, and then it's really awkward for you because then you actually have to make them commit to something.
Yeah.
Which feels like, do they even want to do this? Or no? You know? It's, I don't know. I'm really bad at that kind of thing.
Me too. I don't
know how to do it. All right. How much time do we have left? There's time for two more. What is the subtle way to say, please stop effing talking to me? And this person says he joined something, someone kept talking to him, and it was annoying, and he wants a nice, a polite way, subtle way to communicate that.
I don't have a good way to do this.
This is kind of the opposite of the question we just had, right? Because, like, we're like, what if they don't want to talk to me? And this person's like, I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to, yeah, this is...
This is my fear in every social situation is this person is on the other end.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think there's a subtle way to do it.
Yeah, you just have to say something like, I'm busy. I think you have to
look disinterested, you know? And hopefully they'll pick up on it. Like, oh, they don't care.
This is hard for me because I feel like I'm not good at telling people how I'm feeling with my body.
Me neither.
I like look all around all the time. I have like tiny bird syndrome.
Me too. Yeah. I'm always looking around. I never look. I look people in the eyes, but not long enough to like for them to know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I look people in the eyes long enough to do two things: one, to judge them, and two. To see if they're looking at me in the eyes.
Whenever I have a conversation and someone asks me something, and I'm like, okay, I should have a good response to this. I think we talked about this last week. I like try to get out of it really fast. And then like I'm never committing to anything. So it's like the tiny bird thing. Like, I don't want to be in the conversation, so I try to leave as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
Which is just like, I don't know. I'm not confident enough to control a conversation, like, ever. Because I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. Goodbye. It's funny. It's like tiny bird, like you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want to waste people's time.
Yeah, same. And I feel like I'm always wasting people's time. This is a good last question to land on because it relates to what we were just talking about. How do I become more outgoing? I find myself always being more on the quiet, reserved side and feeling like I'm the outcast at social gatherings. I want to become more outgoing, the life of the party, etc. And more friendly overall, but I have trouble doing so, along with creating and maintaining conversations. What are some suggestions to change the way I act to become more outgoing? I'm female, 21.
I mean, I have an answer, but you're not going to like it.
What is the answer? I want to hear it.
Drugs.
That is a good answer, actually. My answer was you don't, but I think drugs is a good answer, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can become more outgoing. Just
out
of the blue. I've been trying for 10 years and it hasn't worked. If anything, I've become less outgoing. So there you go. The answer is drugs, I guess.
Yeah.
Who's our sponsor today, Bad Songs?
Our sponsor today is B52 brand mayonnaise.
Ooh. When you're craving that tangy, creamy taste of mayonnaise... Please.
Drop a bomb with B52 of mayonnaise. I don't know.
When you're feeling kind of snooty,
go and see a movie.
Well, you always do go and see. All right. That's been episode 112 of the Time of Sean.
I'm Bat Snacks.
Have a great night and drive safely.
Good night.
Bye.